How long do you wait to take a sip of your coffee after you've made it?
It's a great question, Matt. You just made yourself a cup of coffee.
I made an in-studio cup of coffee out of a Keurig. And, you know, I'm just very new to drinking coffee. And I mean, the steam is coming off.
Your situation is going to be different. Because when I make my coffee, I'm taking it off the boiler. And then I'm pouring it through the grounds. And then it soaks through. And then I pour into the cup. It's like probably 3 minutes off the boil. So I can drink it right away.
Okay.
Out of the Keurig, that's got to be piping hot.
Like, super hot.
It's too hot to drink right out of the... I think you got to wait like at least 3 to 5 minutes.
Have you seen the new Keurigs? This is not an ad, but have you seen them?
No.
They look gorgeous. Really figured it out. It actually looks nice, like as an appliance. You don't have to like hide.
Did you see the video I posted on my... Or did I post it on TikTok?
What'd you post, Mike?
I made my little story setup of how I make my coffee every morning.
Have you made this video?
Like, I did it once on my feed like a year ago, and then I made another story.
Did you have any coffee snobs coming after you saying...
No. People were asking me, what's that kettle? How do you do it? What's your ratio? I got more questions than answers because people want to know what kind of beans, what my ratios are, how much water, what temperature I do the water at. Like, there's a lot to it.
Do you think you could go in blind as a barista and know how to make all different types of coffee? Do you know what's in every single type of coffee?
No.
What's in a mocha?
Those are all espresso drinks. I do drip coffee.
Oh.
But I could do any type of drip. You want me to do a French press? You want me to do a AeroPress, Chemex, a V60, a Clever dripper? I could do them
These
all.
Just sound like models of like Dysons or something.
Do they?
Like, or vacuums.
The V60, yeah, that's a Japanese company, but that's all, it's all the same concept. But with espresso drinks, espresso is a completely...
I love espresso. I also like espresso with like a little bit of water too. Like, you kind
of... Americano.
That's what an Americano is?
Yes, sir.
I'm so dumb. I don't know anything.
No, that's okay.
Well, I was like outside the ALD store, like in like the Lower East Side.
And ALD?
ALD, like Ame Leon Dore. Like,
oh, not Aaron Louis Dreyfus?
No. And there was like a video of like Robert De Niro, and it was like a cool montage of him just like... out in the streets of New York, and he had like an espresso, and he had like a water bottle, and he was pouring it in there. He's like, that's how I do it. So yeah, he was just making an Americano.
It's an Americano, yeah. It's all right. I just think water and espresso is just such a weird combo. Why wouldn't you just
get... It's like a watered-down like shot, you know? Like, I don't even know who's really watering down shots, but like, I don't know. It just takes a little bit of the bitterness out. You get a little bit of the coffee, but I think you get more flavor to it. I'm actually totally down with that.
There's it's a... latte, cappuccino, frappuccino, affogato, all these Italian words. I don't really know what they all are.
Do you think you could like pantomime holding a cup of coffee pretty well? You know how you watch TV shows, people in movies, they're given like props of like, can you embody weight holding?
Oh, 100%. That's the key to comedy, by the way. That's what Seinfeld says. He's always got to have some business. So let's, I don't know, give me a, like, we're talking about a relationship.
Okay.
Okay. Not funny if I don't have anything in my hand and I go... And it turned out she was wearing the same size pants as me. Not funny, but if I go, and it turns out she was wearing the same size pants as me.
Yeah.
Having a little
something with your hands, or you could be eating some Cheetos, and you're catching an M&M in your mouth.
Yes. On Seinfeld, they would say, what's your business going to be? Because you always got to be doing something with your hands, having a prop. Food is always good business. Newspaper, you pull the book down. And she said, what?
Yes.
Huh? Like, having a piece of business.
I felt like I made that observation recently when I was watching Little Women, the new one. The one with, Greta Gerwig's one with Saoirse Ronan.
It's pronounced Greta Gerwig.
All of those girls did very good about keeping busy. Like, I don't know, one person's like doing some needle pointing. One's like on the piano. They're all like moving. They're keeping busy, making choices, all of that. Have you seen the new Little Women?
I tried to watch it.
Put it on, man.
What?
You don't like period pieces, right? That was your big complaint. You can't do a period piece.
What's the one where there's like a man tied down on a beach and it's a bunch of little women?
Gulliver's Travels.
It's
not little. Wait, hold on. Gulliver's Travels is not a man tied down with a bunch of little women running around. It's the people of Lilliput. I think that's the name.
But you know what I'm talking
but
about?
But it's a village of little people. Yes. Gulliver's Travels.
I thought that was Little Women for the longest
time. Really?
Like, when you would talk about, oh, I love Little Women, I was like, that weird movie from the 90s where the guy was on a beach and like all these tiny people were around
Gulliver's Travels is like as old of a tale as like Treasure Island or...
It's like a classic fairy tale?
I don't say fairy tale, but like, I don't know. I don't think it's like a Brothers Grimm type tale, but...
Oh, they did one with Jack Black in 3D?
Yeah, they did. And it was really, really bad. I remember that.
1726, dude.
17, yeah, it's an old tale. It's a really old, old tale.
A prose satire. Did you ever finish that other book, Confederacy of Dunces?
Oh, yeah, Confederacy of Dunces. I did finish it.
Worth reading?
Yes, 100%.
Okay.
Especially the story behind it, too.
I'm going in blind.
Do you know that the author unalived himself?
Did not know that.
And did you know that, like, you know, it won the Pulitzer Prize?
But it's not David Foster Wallace, is it?
No, it's another three.
It's, three named person.
James Kennedy Toole. He was like a professor who, I think he's from Mississippi, but spent a lot of time in New Orleans as a professor and all of that. Actually, I think he is from New Orleans. He wrote that book, and he obviously had some really bad mental health troubles. And then his mother found the manuscript of this book underneath his bed. And read it and went around to publisher to publisher to publisher trying to get it published. And someone read it and goes, this is a masterpiece. And then, yeah, 20 years later, gets it fully published like in the 80s. And it ends up winning the Pulitzer Prize.
Huh.
But people say it's like hailed as one of the greatest, funniest comedic books of all time.
I'm excited to get into it.
I would say it's some stuff is like a little controversial looking back at it.
I'm sure.
It's like a little bit like Huckleberry Finn does it. You know, hold up. It was written at a different time, capturing New Orleans in a different vibe. So it's not entirely PC, but insanely funny. And what my dad said that like so much of like Seinfeld and situational humor, Arrested Development, really big callback jokes and stuff, and miscommunication comedy.
Has it ever been turned into a movie?
No. Well, they believe that Confederacy of Dunces is actually like a cursed project. Because originally it was intended to be played by John Belushi. John Belushi died. And then they wanted to do it to
Chris
John
Farley.
Candy.
Oh, geez.
John Candy died. Then Chris Farley died. And then I believe there was somebody else after Chris Farley who they were trying to do it. And then that person died. And but it's one of those books, though, where... It still would not be executed that well as a movie, I think, because the writing itself is what makes it good. Yes, it's like a situational thing, but...
You think the audiobook would be funny to listen to, or it's better to read?
Hopefully, yeah. I wonder who does read the audiobook. I do know Nick Offerman dressed up as like Ignatius Riley, who's like the main character, for some benefit or something.
I'm doing Malcolm Gladwell's new book right now on audiobook.
Is it The Revised Tipping Point?
It's called The Tipping Point Revisited.
Oh, right.
But
Revisited.
He's basically just like taking the same idea of a tipping point and talking about different things.
So what have you read so far?
Right now, the first chapter is about the bank robbery epidemic in the early 90s in L.A. and New York, which is like exhilarating. It's amazing.
How rampant bank robberies
were? Well, I mean, the tipping point, like the original thing was that there's this... point at which things tip in from just randomness into mainstream, and it was his first book.
Birkenstocks was like the first chapter of
I actually
Tipping
never
Point.
Read the first one.
Oh.
I read Blank and what's
Outliers.
The other one? Outliers. Yeah, those were the two that I read.
I think Tipping Point starts off about Birkenstocks and how it was once this like really random shoe, but because of a certain neighborhood and how they got these cool people in a neighborhood wearing the shoe, that became a trendsetter. Something along those lines, I may be wrong
well,
about.
Well, so this book is like, the intro is, I wrote this 25 years ago, I've been an established author, and now I want to revisit the idea of a tipping point and go into other things that have been overlooked in history that had tipping points. So the first one's about bank robberies, how like at one point in LA, like in 1992, I think there was 6 bank robberies per day.
92?
Yeah, like recently.
The year I was born?
Yeah.
And oh, I view like a 6 bank robberies a day, like
1800s. In the old West, I know,
yeah.
I know. Oh. But and there's one guy that was getting college students to rob the banks for him. And so he was just never even in a bank.
Just a crime boss. And
yes.
Would just give them a cut if
and
they brought it back.
They were saying,
them.
Like, just for the FBI, while they get called to a scene, and while they're interviewing, you know, the 100 people that are at Bank A that got robbed, Bank B just got robbed 20 minutes later on the other side of town. So now they're like, okay, well, do we sit here and interview the 100 people that were eyewitnesses at robbery A, or do we go and try and find what's going on at robbery B? And there just wasn't enough people to like cover all the bank robberies. And it's super interesting.
So when was the tipping point for it to where it put it to a halt? Or
the way that the book is structured is he hasn't given the answers yet. He's building it like, oh, here, so here's puzzle number one. Here's what happened. And now he's talking also about the opioid crisis and like introducing that. And the book, it's kind of like a podcast where instead of him just reading the quotes from the people at like a court case, you're hearing just the interview of the person. So it's like listening to, I don't know, you ever listen to his podcast? Revisionist History.
Revisionist History
is Malcolm Gladwell's podcast.
Oh, I'm thinking of Hardcore History with like Dan Carlin.
No, that's a different show.
Okay.
Revisionist History by Malcolm Gladwell, one of my favorite podcasts of all time. It's just like a bunch of little Malcolm Gladwell books for like an hour at a time.
That's why he's been doing a lot of press tours and stuff.
Yes, for the new book.
He's been also really poking at like Ivy League colleges and stuff and saying that, do you know anything about this?
No,
about
I was listening to him on Conan and they were getting to the part where he was going to talk about Harvard. And I was like, I don't want to spoil the book. I want the book to like. So, yeah, there is something about Ivy Leagues that's in this new tipping point.
Okay, that's it. Because my dad was like bringing that up. I think it was just he's kind of saying like they're not cracked up to what they used to be.
Yeah. Or as what's his name? Our boy, Scott Galloway. They're not public services. They are hedge funds that happen to offer classes.
Yeah.
Because Harvard has like a $6 billion endowment or something.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that for every amount of money a school makes, they should be adding that many new students and hiring that many more teachers. But instead, they keep the classes the same size. They increase the tuition. And then the school just makes way more money every year.
Right.
Yeah. Higher education's fucked. Anyway, I'm here for
it. Did you ever run away when you were a kid?
I'm sure. Yeah, I definitely did. I threatened to all the time.
That you were going. Now, what was your plan if you were going to run away?
Didn't have a real strong plan, but I definitely have packed a book bag with like clothes and ran down the street.
Did you ever have the urge to go into the city? Because you're from New Jersey, but like make your way into the city?
It was like, I just want to go like two blocks away and just be by myself. And I've done that before.
Okay.
It was...
What was the tipping point in the household that made you...
I think just like as the oldest and, you know, when I'm, I don't know, 11 and there's a 10-year-old, a 7-year-old, and a 5-year-old and everyone's just losing their minds. At one point, I definitely remember being like, I'm just leaving. I'm going.
This is it.
I'm done. I'm moving out. So I packed a bag.
What would you pack? Would you pack in the bag?
Just like a t-shirt and a pair of pants.
Any water? No, nothing like that.
We're
thinking that
ahead. No provisions.
Did you make yourself like a PB&J before you
hit
the road?
No provisions. I remember like all my younger brothers didn't want me to go. They wanted me to stay. And I remember just like they would be like crying like, don't leave, Mike. And my dad would be like, go see how far you get. And I'm like, you better wait. I'm going to go. And then I would walk outside. And like Sam, Doron, and Johnny would run after me crying, don't leave, Mike, don't leave. like dark, like the darkest, like dramatic, like
farewell.
Yes.
And then I you had like a knapsack on like a stick too.
I thought about doing that.
What's up with knapsacks on sticks? That's such like a trope or
cartoon from the 50s.
Yeah, so it's very Winnie the Pooh-esque, like little Christopher Robin always had like a little. Or Winnie the Pooh
hobos.
Well, why didn't we just get a backpack?
Couldn't afford a backpack, buddy.
Christopher Robin seemed like a pretty wealthy kid that he had this big-ass property.
He's cosplaying.
His parents bought a ton of stuffed animals for that kid.
Yeah, he was cosplaying, stolen valor as a poor person.
But if I saw somebody walking around with like a little...
I mean, if you think about it, they had a branch from a tree because that's free, and they had a handkerchief, and they just tied up the hanky with all their belongings.
It's kind of a brilliant invention.
Dude, buying a bag if you're poor, that's a...
I know, it's a bit of an expense.
I definitely did try that when I ran away once too.
Do what?
I went outside, I got a stick, and then I got like a t-shirt, and I was like, I can't fit anything in this, and I didn't know how to tie the knot.
Did you ever read Hatchet, the book Hatchet, when you were a kid?
No.
What? By Gary Paulson? I feel like that was like a rite of passage for every like young boy to read when they were like in elementary school.
No, I don't think so.
It's about the kid who was like on a plane that crash lands out in the Alaskan wilderness, and he all he has is a hatchet, and he's able to like survive out in the woods. It was like Castaway, but for like a young 12-year-old boy out there. No, didn't read it.
No.
Did you
ever run away? Or Kevin?
Run away, but like just for, a few hours. I think I would try to go out into the woods and pull like a whole hatchet, like the book.
Wait, were you like mad at your parents? You're like, I'm leaving. I'm moving out.
Or was I really can't remember being that angry, but like I could see myself just being like, I'm going to go out into the woods for a long time.
I think I just, as an introvert, needed some alone time. And I was living in a house with six people, and I was just like, just leave me alone.
Did you ever lose a pet?
Yeah, we had a rabbit, a pet rabbit named Lola from Space Jam.
Love it.
And Lola died after probably a year or two. She got sick. But my parents lied to me about the fact that she died.
Oh, really? What did they say? Ran away.
Yeah.
That's a little cruel.
But I understand why.
Did you understand death already? But did you have so many like young brothers? They thought it would just bring all of you guys down.
I think it was probably just easier to say it ran away. Although, I don't. It turned out like a year later, they were like, "Oh yeah, that rabbit died."
You're like, "What?"
Yeah. I mean, at that point, we didn't care. But I used to try to put my hand on her and then turn into the Animorph. Like, I tried to Animorph.
Yeah. Like, I wanted my cat, my black cat, to turn into like a panther. Like, I thought if I, like, fed it enough, if I, like, yeah, I could manifest this, like, black baby panther from
Felix?
The black cat. Felix the cat. Yeah, absolutely.
It's a great cat.
And my cat ran away. Felix did run away. Ran away
actually
for
ran away?
Yes, dude, for a whole weekend. Like, ran away. I remember being devastated.
That's so 2 days?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say like a whole month or.
I would say maybe 3 to 4 days gone without the cat. And ugh. Then that, like the third day, you get like pretty terrified, crying and just thinking that.
Did it come back?
Yeah, it came back. My mom found it across the street in the neighbor's yard just sitting there. If you ever do lose a cat, I learned that like the best time to find your cat, just wait right when the sun's setting, because that's when like cats can really see like little like flies and like moths and stuff flying around.
Yeah,
that's
they're
like
nocturnal.
That's their like hunting time, and they really come out around that time. And then that's where
they also say to like wear a shirt for a day, or I think this is for dogs. You like take your shirt off after you're wearing it, so it has your scent on it. Put it like on a street corner, and then leave food and water, and your dog up to like 2 miles away can smell your clothes. And if your dog ever gets lost, yeah, that's a great way to find a lost dog. We'll be right back after a quick word from today's sponsor, ZocDoc. Now, there are some things in life that it's okay to be a total crapshoot, like trying a new type of milk in your coffee, rolling the dice on a new workout class, or mixing it up with a new takeout spot. Why not try something out? But finding the right doctor should not be a total crapshoot. And with ZocDoc, it's not, because you've got more options than you know.
ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare high-quality in-network doctors, choose the right one for your needs, and click to instantly book an appointment. We're talking about in-network appointments with more than 100,000 healthcare providers across every specialty, from mental health to dental health, eye care to skin care, and much more.
You can filter for doctors who take your insurance, who are located nearby, who are a good fit for any medical need that you may have, and who are highly rated by verified patients. You can also see their actual appointment openings, choose a time that works for you, and click to instantly book a visit.
Plus, ZocDoc appointments happen fast, typically within just 24 to 72 hours of booking. You can even score same-day appointments.
We use ZocDoc, and you should too.
So stop putting off those doctor's appointments and go to ZocDoc.com/hoot to find and instantly book a top-rated doctor today. That is ZocDoc.com/hoot, ZocDoc.com/hoot. And now, back to the episode. Oh, I've always known, like, if you have to put your pet away for a bit, like at like a...
at a party or something?
No, or like you're going to be out of town for a bit, and you go put it at like a shelter that takes in dogs, like a doggy daycare. You can give them like a bit of your clothes.
So oh, yes.
It relaxes the pet a little bit more.
Yeah. No, but I've seen on Reddit, people always suggest, like, put a shirt that you wore with some food and water, like, I don't know, half a mile away from your house.
Now, do you believe these stories where it's like a cat that was lost in Arkansas managed to find its way all the way home down to Houston, Texas?
I've never heard that. That's a crazy story.
There's always, you hear about these stories every few years where a cat is able to find its way home and travel hundreds of miles to get itself there.
No, I think it's like a Disney movie.
I've been trying to test this new theory, and this is a theory that has been studied, but some people think it's bullshit, but I think it's kind of true, and I'm trying to observe it in my own thing. I talked about this a bit on Unfiltered. So I believe they did this in Germany or Finland, maybe somewhere in Scandinavia. They did a study on dogs, and you know how bees, whales, turtles all operate off the electromagnetic field.
Supposedly,
they have an internal
yes.
frequency where they can tap into what's north and what's south.
Yes.
They did a huge study of dogs, over like 30 breeds of dogs, observed thousands of poopings and peepings, all of that, and they notice that dogs, when they poop, will align align themselves north and south. But they have to be in an open lawn, in an open area. They cannot be near traffic or around too much stimulation. They have to be off leash. And but now, even though when I'm like driving and I do see a dog and I see it pooping, I pull out my compass to see what direction I'm in. And it's added up 3 times.
Really?
Yeah. So.
I totally believe it.
That dogs have. I just want to know what the sensation of the frequency is like. Like,
it's probably like feeling, you know, which way is right and left, right?
Yeah, but I feel like I was taught that.
But you know, okay,
do you really feel like
up and down? You feel up and down.
Yes.
If I'm like, look up, you're like, there's something above me, there's something below me. They probably just feel.
I just don't know if it's like a wong. Like is it a pull towards it? I don't know.
Yeah, or like carrier pigeons. How the hell does that work?
Carrier pigeon, dude, I'm so, yeah.
We're going to put a note on a pigeon in England, send it to France.
Does it have
to
learn from the other, do the other pigeons go, okay, this is the route we take, you got to come here,
get used to
that. Well,
no, it's your pigeon.
Right, but how does the pigeon learn the route? Do you
have
to walk the pigeon there and then it maps it out, or is it something that's taught, like you can't teach a pigeon.
Like how do you tell the pigeon where to go? I know how to tell a pigeon to come home.
I feel like it learns it from the other pigeons because birds flock together.
But if I just have a pigeon on my rooftop in New York City and I want to send a note to Pennsylvania, how do I get my pigeon to go to Pennsylvania?
That's
and then it lands in Pennsylvania.
You have to buy it from like a pigeon trainer thing. I don't know. It has to go to a pigeon academy.
Oh, I bet you this is what happens.
Oh, it's easy. GPS.
No. Global Pigeon System?
Yeah.
I bet you, you go to the place. So let's say I'm in France and I want to send a letter to England. I got to go to England. And I got to get a pigeon from England. I bring that pigeon home with me. So it's a big travel day. And then once I'm back in England, then I write my note on the pigeon. I let it go. And then it's like a one-way thing where the pigeon just goes to England. And that's the way it works.
A pigeon can't fly to fucking England, Mike.
How far do you think they were going?
You think a pigeon can fly across the Atlantic?
Pigeons
don't fly that far. I don't even think birds ever cross.
They fly from like New Jersey to... They could fly 100 miles.
As the Atlantic,
what's the difference between
miles?
The English Channel? That were you between France and England? That's less than 100 miles.
Okay, we're talking about France. I thought you were talking about bringing it back to New York.
No. From like in like World War II. They
okay,
would send
yes, maybe.
Homing pigeons can fly up to 700 miles in a single day. Dude, insane.
Can you buy pigeons?
Here are some tips for training them.
I'll go half with you on a pigeon. And it flies over the Hollywood Hills.
I actually want to look into this about how homing pigeons work.
I do know that there was a big cheating scandal in China where they were using carrier pigeons to fly like the notes to the school for like the kids to like use and stuff.
That's pretty smart.
Yeah, pretty smart using a carrier pigeon for that.
Yeah, there's a whole history of this. After being transported, they can find their way back home, even from places they never visited before.
That is incredible.
So you basically go to the place that you want to visit, grab a pigeon, bring it home, and then you have a one-way ticket.
Yeah.
And maybe you leave a pigeon there. Like, you bring one from home, and then you go and swap it, and then you guys can trade pigeons when you're like...
Go back and forth.
Yeah.
I don't mind that. Huh. Just got to give it a really good reward.
Yeah, a little cracker.
Oh yeah, it's wild how like birds are actually like, receptive to like carrying things.
But I don't. You see these people on social media that like have pet birds. It seems like it's cute when they're like, "Oh, I love you." But
I don't mind a parakeet. I do not mind actually a single parakeet, and you actually have a really really big house.
Is parakeets like the little one?
The little one. You have it a little cage.
And they can talk.
You put the no, it's not like a
like,
parrot.
Oh, I love you.
Oh, those are, I think, breeds of, like, maybe a parakeet. Like, your standard parakeet that you go into a pet store and you see all of them. And
they're, like blue and colorful.
Green and stuff. Those are actually really cute. But
I feel like
you
your
have
house
to have a
is going to smell like a pet store.
Once again, I said you have to have a big house for it.
Even still, you don't think a house is going to smell like a pet store?
No, dude. They're so easy. Like, little bird poops. Bird poop really doesn't, like, stink that bad.
I've been to a house, or, like, a parrot.
Oh, parrots, that's a whole
and they
different
just make
situation.
So much noise. Like,
I love you.
And they're losing their minds. I don't know. I don't think birds are good to
like
keep
cockatoos.
In house. It's just like, just get a fucking dog, man. What are we doing here?
Yeah.
I like seeing it, though. What thing would you like to see wrapped that we don't get?
A letterbox wrapped.
Meaning, explain.
Like, you watched this many movies this year. You thought these ones were the best, blah, 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 blah.
So, like, movies wrapped.
Yeah, a movies wrapped. I would like to see a wrap for that. I also think it would be interesting.
Like, how many minutes you watched, how many movies you watched.
Yes.
What directors were your favorite, what actors you saw the most of.
Yeah.
I bet you could probably.
I'm surprised they don't do that.
I bet you could use chat, and I've done something similar. You could use ChatGPT, be like, write me a script to pull this data out of my Letterboxd account. And build it on like Google Scripts, and then you can just run the script and you can
True.
Build it yourself.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of work, but I would like it to be more of a sharing thing because I would like to also compare. And because part of, I think, Spotify Wrapped is it's actually really fun to also see what other people's top
True.
Picks were.
Yeah, what actor did you see the most of? What actress did you see the most of?
Yes, that one. I really would like to see that. Oh, what was another Wrapped I was thinking? I think it would be really cool, though it would be kind of impossible, if like all of your streaming services, everything that you've also, like TV shows, all of that, it like kind of captured.
Yeah, visual media wrapped.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know. It'd also be interesting, all of my weird Google or Wikipedia searches I made all over the year, all the really random shit.
Do you have a Wikipedia account that you log into?
Yeah, I donate to Wikipedia every year.
That's very good, man.
Like $5 at least.
Does it save your searches, or it doesn't even save them?
I'm usually, yeah, but I'm never like really revisiting something. I'm a big, like, I like to Wikipedia things while I'm watching something to help me kind of understand things better. I'm a big, like, love reading people's bios about how that person got to where they are, what formed them to just become the incredible person that they are.
Can you give me an example?
Like, if there was like a, who was it? Like, the comedian, Kate Berlant. Love her. I was like, she's such a funny comedian.
Who?
What is her whole story? Kate Berlant.
SNL?
She's not on SNL. She does a lot of stuff with John Early.
Okay.
She's been in a handful of movies. But I don't know, her, I learned that her dad was actually like an artist in LA. She came from a very like artistic family, all of that. Like, I think it's just interesting. And, who else did I learn about? Oh, Jamie Lee Curtis, that her mom was in Psycho, and her mom was that huge actress as well. Things like that.
Have you seen the movie Psycho?
Yeah, I have. That's actually really good.
I haven't seen the second half, which, like, I thought the movie ended after the murder.
No, it keeps
That's, like,
going,
halfway through
man.
The movie. I thought that, and I was like, oh, okay, I saw the main part of the movie. I can go to bed now, and then I just never followed up.
Oh, it's a really
the
great.
The second
and
half
then
is
they
good?
Also, yeah, the second half is great, and then they also redid it in the 90s with, like, Vince Vaughn.
Yeah. Is it good?
No, it's not.
I mean, Hitchcock
good.
Is just unbelievable.
Yeah.
That, like, the whole, where the cop, and she's got the stuff in the back, and
yes!
It's so well done.
It's just
done.
Like a total anxiety trip, and she's, like, replaying everything that's happening back that's at work, because she ends up stealing that money. Oh, my gosh.
Martin Scorsese talks about it a lot, too, where he's just, like, every shot they thought about where you're gonna see the top of the steering wheel, and then some shots you're not going to see the top of the steering wheel. And then when that, like, the cop, his whole head is in the frame, and then she's smaller, so like his presence is more.
Yes.
All this, like, great.
That's
yeah.
There's also a really great technique that is in Silence of the Lambs. Have you seen that?
Oh yeah.
How all everybody else, like, in the movie when they're talking to, is her name Scully? No, that I'm thinking of X-Files. Whatever. Jodie Foster's Clarice.
Hello, Clarice.
They all are looking directly into the camera. And she's always, like, looking not
right.
direct. She's looking, like, a little bit off. But it's in this weird, like, kind of paranoid, intimidation-like tactic to make her feel,
You ever seen the documentary The Imposter?
Yes. Wait, The Imposter, that is about the kid that was...
Went missing.
And oh,
then
yeah.
His, like, another kid came back 2 years
so,
later
yeah,
with an accent.
For the people who don't know, there was a family in, you know, middle America... who around in the early 80s, mid-80s, had a
12-year-old?
12, a little.
I think it was like a 12-year-old kid,
I think he
no?
was like 7 or...
8 when he went missing?
Maybe it was like a 12-year-old boy. Went missing.
Was it Tuesday? Wednesday. No, it was Wednesday. Wait, was it
Tuesday? Young boy. Went missing. Family's crushed. Then they find out 7, 8 years later that their boy apparently has been found in a phone booth in Spain, and they can't believe it. This boy says, yes, I'm this kid. I'm from this area, blah, 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 blah. They get the kid, bring him back home. The kid now has brown eyes. He has, like, scars all on his body.
An accent.
He has a much larger nose than he had before. And this family fully convinces, oh, yep, this is our baby. I can't believe it. Wow, this is incredible that you got your Uncle Bob's nose. You definitely grew into it. And turns out...
Well, don't spoil it.
Don't spoil it. Okay, then watch it. But
So in that documentary, they do the same thing where everyone else off camera, or everyone that they're interviewing, is looking like this, where it's like they're talking to the producer, but the imposter, the kid, he's talking directly to the camera. So it makes the whole story more convincing, because the whole time the kid is looking directly at you and everyone else is looking off to the side, and creates this like... You want to believe him more because he's looking at you in the eye.
I didn't even pick up on that.
So well done. We'll be right back after a quick word from today's sponsor, Rocket Money. Matt and I have been using Rocket Money for over 2.5 years now. They are one of our favorite apps. It's my favorite app on my phone. I use Rocket Money literally every day. They just found a subscription that I somehow was paying twice for that I did not realize. Rocket Money alerted me to it. It's press one button, Rocket Money does the rest. They can cancel your unwanted subscriptions. And Rocket Money is truly one of my favorite things that I have. It really helps me keep track of my finances, manage my subscriptions, and so much more.
So yeah, if you don't know what Rocket Money is, once again, it's a personal finance app that helps you manage and cancel your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills so you can grow your savings. You can see all of your subscriptions in one place and know exactly where your money is going. For ones you don't want anymore, Rocket Money can help you cancel them.
And Rocket Money's dashboard gives you a clear view of your expenses across all of your accounts. You can easily create a personalized budget with custom categories to help keep your spending on track. You can see your monthly spending trends in each category so you know exactly where your money is going. I do this. It truly is so helpful to just know what I'm paying for. Where can I cut back? Where can I push a little more? Rocket Money is truly such a great tool to help me manage my financial life.
Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions and reach your financial goals faster with Rocket Money. So go to rocketmoney.com/hoot today. That is rocketmoney.com/hoot, rocketmoney.com/hoot. And now back to the episode. Wow.
There's, I think it's called Every Frame of Painting, the YouTube channel. They like break down movies and directing and such. Have you ever seen those videos, Every Frame of Painting?
They're like almost like video, video essays.
But they're like from 10 years ago.
I've seen like a handful of them. I need to get back into some video essays.
They're not that good these days. You got to go to the OGs. Every Frame of Painting and Captain Christian.
Captain Christian. That guy was my favorite. Is he still making videos?
He puts out like one a year and they're still incredible. He did one about The Shining that was so good, called The Invisible Horror of The Shining. And it's all about the sound design of The Shining.
Oh.
It's the best. Love a good video essay.
Did you ever see Room 237? The documentary. It's like a conspiracy documentary about all the hidden messaging in The Shining and all the different interpretations of what people believe that The Shining, what Stanley Kubrick was trying to say. Was he trying to say that he was actually behind the moon landing? Is it actually about the genocide of Native Americans? It's all of those.
And Stephen King famously hated the movie.
Why?
Yeah, he hated it.
I think because it was just not completely direct to the book that he wrote, right? Or he changed a lot of things?
I think it was also Stephen King was just like on his cocaine-fueled high horse of like, this is my fucking story and blah, blah, blah. I don't know. It's an amazing movie. I feel like that's a great holiday movie.
The Shining?
It's like takes place in the winter.
Yeah,
over the winter break.
Get cozy.
It's like not that scary. I always thought it was like the scary growing up.
It stays with you, I think.
I watched it like 2 years ago for the first time. So I didn't grow up with it. So I'm seeing it like as a full adult. And I'm just like, this is just fucking amazing.
Yeah.
And then you see the big shot where he's banging on the door and the camera's looking at him and he's like going like this.
Yeah.
That like you watch the behind the scenes and Stanley Kubrick was like, what if we just try this?
That angle and he captures it. Did you ever see Eyes Wide Shut?
Yes. Didn't like it.
Oh, I love Eyes Wide Shut. I think I like the art direction in that one a lot.
He was like a little bit demented, like losing his mind.
He died right after they finished it. They did like the first screening of it and then he died right after.
And I think they changed some of it after he died. Like,
yeah,
we haven't
seen
his
Sidney Pollack.
Yes.
Sidney Pollack, who's in the movie, he had to take all of Stanley Kubrick's like notes and kind of finish it and polish it up. Wasn't there something about the contract of Eyes Wide Shut where Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman like had to
they
almost
couldn't
like
do another movie, I think, until it finished or something.
Yes, or yeah. They were like really contractually obligated to that project, and I love like, that because they're married in that too.
And they're like, married in real life at the time, right?
They were married in real life at the time, exactly. And so their chemistry is just insane. And that apartment in New York is just my dream apartment.
Really?
Yes.
Where the like the main stuff happens?
No, what are you talking about?
Where the woman dies in the bathroom?
No. No, that's like at a fancy ballroom. So but like their penthouse apartment that has all like the paintings
it.
On the walls. It's the most well hands down, I think one of my favorite movie sets of all time. I'm very fascinated by people who are set designers, prop designers, people who make spaces truly feel lived in.
Yes.
How do you make that desk look like someone has those products sitting out there and they actually used it? Organizing junk for artistic purposes is very fascinating to me, especially Sofia Coppola and The Virgin Suicides. All of that stuff is very, I just get sucked into.
Yeah, it's a good because otherwise it looks like what do they call it, where they do the tours of the people's houses, and it's just like the Architectural Digest. Like, you can't film a movie in an Architectural Digest. It just
feels just everything
like,
too is kind of stiff. I want to see what this place looks like as a genuine home.
Yeah, that's a good point, Matt.
Yeah.
Any other holiday movies you would recommend?
Oh boy, holiday movies I would recommend. That's a really great question. I feel like I just watched some recently, but I think they were more kind of Thanksgiving movies.
Well, now it's about to be a different holiday, so let's share with the people.
A good one that I had never seen was called While You Were Sleeping. It's from 1995. It's with Sandra Bullock, Bill Pullman, Peter Gallagher. And this was a movie that put Sandra Bullock on the map. And I'll give you like the premise. Basically,
comedy, drama,
rom-com, total rom-com, great OG rom-com. It's so lovely. It's about this girl, Sandra Bullock. She is like mid-20s. She doesn't have a mom. She doesn't have a dad because they all like passed away. She's a hopeless romantic. She sees this guy every day at the train station who she loves and has the biggest crush on. One day the guy gets mugged, falls onto the train track. She's like, oh my gosh. She's trying to rescue him. He's in a coma. She takes him to the hospital, and on a whim, out of just nerves and everything, she says that this is her fiance. And the family finds out he's engaged. Like, and so then she has to keep up this lie while this guy is in a coma, and she ends up like falling in love with this family and everything. And so she's keeping up this lie, and it's this gorgeous little rom-com.
I've never even heard of that.
I know, neither had I. And I watched it and I totally fell in love with
it. How'd you come across it?
I think because, well, so sometimes when I go on Letterboxd, I will pick a service. So I'll go, show me everything that's on Amazon Prime. And then I clicked fade watch. So everything I've already seen in my entire life, those go away. And then I go to like highest rating or popularity, and then I scroll down and I find something that is like a must see.
I need to do a Letterboxd class with you.
Yeah, well, I'm just very picky about if I'm gonna spend my time to sit down
I'm
and
with
watch
you.
Something
I'm with
I
you.
Want it to be like something that's good.
Like, I rewatch stuff because I'm like, I don't want to surf
around
something that I haven't seen and waste 2 hours.
The service feature on Letterboxd is really great.
The service feature,
like, so yeah, you would just go here to search and then click service.
Are you
and
paying
then,
for Letterboxd Premium?
I think anyone can get this on I do pay for premium.
Wow.
I do. I'm a patron.
Well, you have to explain to me how it works with the watching versus watch list versus liked, because I think I fucked
up. You mess it up all the time, Mike. It's okay.
I would suggest The Family Man with Nicolas Cage. Amazing holiday movie. Takes place in the 90s. In Chicago, I think it is, in like a suburb. It's just the perfect Nicolas Cage primetime, well-written, well-directed. What's another good holiday movie? The Holdovers, if you haven't seen that yet.
The Holdovers is a must. If you're not watching The Holdovers, I don't know what you're doing. Go see
that
The Holdovers.
What else is like a good, a cozy, like...
Cozy one, Little Women. I just watched that with my family and stuff. I wish there was a genre. Also, The Holiday. I love The Holiday.
Is that the one where it's like it's every single actor in the world and they all meet up? And
no, that's you're thinking of like Valentine's Day and New Year's Eve and those ones that they made that are just like an aggressive cameo
it's
movie.
It's like Jack Black and Cameron Diaz and all these people.
Wait, that is the holiday.
Oh, so wait, but isn't it
But
about...
it's just four really main famous people. It's Jack Black, Kate Winslet, Cameron Diaz, Jude Law.
Oh, and they switch.
They house switch Kate Winslet and Cameron Diaz. Switch houses. One lives in L.A., one lives in, like, the Cotswolds, and they switch and they...
In the Cotswolds?
I think it's in the Cotswolds. It's definitely in the English countryside. And
what do you think of my new wardrobe?
I think you are getting a great wardrobe.
Do you actually think so, or are you just like...
Yeah, no, I'm happy. It's refreshing to see you wear new clothes.
And I feel like nice clothes, too, right? I feel like I usually do... When I see myself, I'm just like... I'm wearing like a hoodie and jeans and like regular clothes, but this is like, I don't know, I feel like I should start looking like an adult.
Yes. Sweaters. Invest in yourself. Yeah.
It feels good to also wear clothes that are not only that look nice, but like when you're buying clothes that are a little better, they're more comfortable to wear.
Oh, absolutely.
Like buying clothes from, I mean, all respect, and I've done this for a long time, but like wearing a hoodie from Target is not the same as wearing like a nice pair of pants from Banana Republic.
Yeah.
But I did do a big Black Friday, huge haul, and I, J. Crew, Banana Republic, 40% off, and if you sign up for their credit card, you get another 20% off. So I got everything for less, more than half price. It's insane.
And this is not an ad, folks. This is not an ad. This is just Mike discovering a great deal.
I'm not going to be able to do this again because it was like a Black Friday situation.
I think you'll do it for summer, for like Labor Day, Memorial Day, or which day is it that comes around? I think it's a Labor Day.
Yeah, I was thinking about it. Like, I should buy some summer clothes, but I wasn't in like the summer clothes vibe. And I bought some new socks, bought a bunch of MeUndies, used our code. I don't know if you use MeUndies.
I do use MeUndies. And, but I love your shoes. Those are really great. The Kill Shots. I love them. They're very UT colors.
I've had these. Are these the Kill Shots?
Yeah, those are the Kill Shots. The first time we met, Mike, you turned me on to the Nike Kill Shots because you also had the rubber laces on them.
Oh, yeah. But I don't know if these are Kill Shots. I think these are similar.
Oh, I mean, they look identical. It's a gum bottom.
Maybe they are.
It's a gum bottom, low heel, flat bottom shoe.
Yeah, I've been wearing the chunkier sneakers because I also like they give me a little bit of height.
Oh yeah,
the New Balances, but these do not give me any height, so it's a trade-off.
They're also great for leg day when you're in the gym.
I would never wear these in the gym.
Well, you got to wear a flat bottom shoe when you do leg day.
Why?
Because it's better sense of balance, better sense of like.
You're not wearing New Balances in the gym.
No, I wear like my flat bottom like Wilsons and stuff. Hmm. Like it's just best when you're doing stuff with your legs to have a really good like flat bottom shoe for it. Have you been using the gym in your apartment? Why not?
No.
You have it. You have total access to it.
I don't have the
willpower to walk down the hallway?
It's not the willpower, it's the habit. Yeah. I just don't have that.
Like, your body will start craving it.
I put the pull-up bar back up in the office, which it's like I'm every time I try to do, you know, 5, 10, 15 pull-ups and within a month or so I feel like I'll feel
better. I would kill to have a gym in my like complex and not have to go all the way to a gym.
I can't understand how people do it. You get in your car.
You got to come up with something. Just watch a movie while you're doing it.
But watch a show. I actually don't have the time. Like I can't from like it's at least 2 hours. You got to work out for an hour. You got to get dressed. Then you got to get to the gym. Then you got to work out. Then you got to shower. And then you're so out of breath and like still sweating. And it's like. It's like
it's
a
not
more
that intense.
How
Mike.
Long is your whole from when you decide you're going to go to the gym?
Oh, for me, that's like basically an hour, hour and a half of the whole commitment I have. But for you, wear your workout clothes when you get ready for the day, do your work, and then go work out for 35 minutes.
Yeah, and then I got to shower and get into new clothes. And then
go to bed.
Oh, you work out right before bed?
Well, for you, I feel like you could do it in the evening. It seems like you kind of like to rise and grind immediately.
I do, yeah. I get the coffee and I get...
But why not just get it all out of you right before bed?
Do people do that? They work out before bed?
Yeah. I'm going to go to the gym right after this because I haven't made time to go
to the
gym.
I was thinking I need to pay a personal trainer to show up at my house and make me do it.
I embarrassed myself in front of Jodie Foster yesterday.
Oh, God. Yeah, what happened?
I jolted.
What does that mean?
I jolted. So she goes to my gym. Hopefully she never sees this.
Hey, Jodie.
And I'm very respectful about celebrities. You know, it's a popular place.
Yeah.
I'm walking out. She's walking in. But my brain, like my eyes reacted thinking it was like a friend that I was just like, oh. And I did this. And she's like. And I'm like, oh, shit. And I walked and I stopped.
Were you guys facing each other?
Yeah. Yes. She's walking in. I'm walking out.
Okay.
Passing each other. Do a bit of that. I was
did she say something
no.
or did you say
no,
something?
No, we did not say anything.
No words.
She knew I like was reacting to her.
Yeah.
But if I saw her from further, I would have clocked him and like, okay. But I thought it was just like a friend that
yeah,
I knew.
Somebody
like it
familiar.
Was,
yeah,
I was just like, oh my gosh. Hey, I know you. I know you. You're a familiar face.
Yeah, it's tough.
I cringed about it for a bit. But you know what? It probably happens.
Really?
I bet it happens to like celebs a lot.
Where people do a double take and think that they're someone else.
Yeah, but I'm cringing thinking that was like, oh my gosh, it's Jodie Foster. My body just did it because I thought like I knew her and I needed to say hi.
Well, now you have a connection with her. Maybe she'll see you again. And you're like, what happened last time?
She'll
be like, what did you poop your pants or something?
I feel even embarrassed talking about it. I mean, but you know what? This is just me sharing my truth.
It's totally fine for you to do a double take. When you see a celebrity at a place you're not expecting to see one.
Correct. We'll be right back after a quick word from today's sponsor, GhostBed. After a night of laughs and unforgettable conversations on Hoot and Half, you deserve the kind of sleep that keeps you feeling refreshed and ready for the next big laugh. That's where GhostBed comes in. GhostBed's mattresses are expertly designed for ultimate comfort and support, making them the perfect companion for your late night binge of my best moments. Whether you're a side sleeper, back sleeper, or somewhere in between, GhostBed has something tailored just for you.
And we love the GhostBed Lux and highly recommend it, especially if you're a hot sleeper. Its advanced cooling technology will keep you comfortable even when you're up re-listening to your favorite episodes of Hoot and a Half. Prefer a balance and softness for support? The GhostBed Flex combines memory foam and coils to deliver just that.
And with the holiday season here, it's the perfect time to treat yourself or someone you love to better sleep. GhostBed's 101 night sleep trial lets you experience premium mattresses risk-free because everyone deserves the gift of great sleep.
And here's the best part. As a Hoot and a Half listener, you will get an exclusive deal, 50% off site-wide.
So head to ghostbed.com/hoot and use code HOOT at checkout. Don't lose sleep over restless nights. Upgrade your mattress and transform your rest today. Visit ghostbed.com/hoot and use code HOOT to claim 50% off discount. Sweet dreams this holiday season start with GhostBed. And now back to the episode. When you were a kid, how far away from home, though, were you allowed to go?
Oh, man. In indeterminate distance. I was going miles away.
Miles? Did you have walkie-talkies? Or did you have a cell phone?
No, just
y'all
bikes.
Didn't even do walkie-talkies at all.
We Your did parents... them later in childhood. Maybe we were like 13, 14.
Oh,
had
damn.
A walkie-talkie. But when I was like 10, 11, we would go into abandoned houses, like in the middle of the woods from like the 50s, like miles away. It was so dangerous. There was one place we went to where the second floor fell through and we had to like, yeah, it was very dangerous.
Now, do you think it's interesting? Someone did like a study recently that was like a map of like where kids were allowed to go. Like they interview like past generations
now,
and stuff.
Yeah.
And now kids, like their safe zone is really only just like a block radius that they feel like they're allowed to go.
Yes.
But if you look back into like the 80s, 90s or whatever, it was actually the most unsafe time. Like your kid is more exposed to danger on their phone than they are
100%.
Being like in a mile radius near your home.
Yeah, and kids
now,
on
do you
leashes.
Think, would you allow, if you had kids right now, do you think you would allow them to go a couple miles away into the abandoned home?
Depends on what town I live in.
Yeah.
If I live in Los Angeles, I feel like it'd probably be okay. And like, if we're living in certain neighborhoods, I think it would be okay. I would probably look at what the crime rates are wherever I am and kind of see what the situation is. But nowadays, you throw a fucking, what do you call it? Little air tag in your kid's pocket and let them go.
Yeah.
Have a good time. Give them a cell phone. Give them a little beep, beep. Call me if you need anything. It's like so easy.
Yeah.
You got to trust kids more. But these kids that are growing up now are just so nervous and like, can't
I struggle
do
with that word. Like, I feel like, oh, it's responsible to know where my kids are at all time. We have the technology, we have the convenience to do it. But then, like, I struggle with, like, oh, what about like just the trust? We did have a little bit of freedom as kids.
They used to have to come on the news at 10 p.m. and be like, it's 10 p.m. Do you know where your children are?
Oh.
Because parents just didn't give a fuck
about
where their kids were.
Nah.
It was hey, you have kids at home. Do you know where they are? I have no idea. People have no idea where their kids were in up until like pretty recently.
Right.
And lying about, oh, yeah, we're having a sleepover. I'm going to Vegas. Like, people would just do crazy shit. But when I was, I would say, 8, 9, 10, 11 years old, you get on a bike, you can go wherever you want. Just as long as you're home by dinner. Like, that's...
Do you ever feel like you were almost abducted at any point? Like, did anybody ever try to lure you as a kid?
Definitely not. I don't
always
think
have a distinct memory of when I was in a library as a child. And I was in the kids section, you know, like when we were at the computers and stuff. And I remember there was this older gentleman sitting at a computer. And he was like, hey, man, you like nice cars and stuff? And I was like, yeah, I like nice cars. He's like, come here. And he like had his computer open on this website with all these fancy cars. And then I like was standing next to him looking. I remember he smelled like poop. Like poop. Didn't smell good. And I remember my friend Alicia was like, do not talk to that guy. Like, what are you doing?
Did you look at the cars on his
computer? Yeah, I was, like, standing looking at it. Because I was just, like, so lured into where I was just trying to be nice, and I thought, like, this was a guy at the library trying to talk to me. And I just remember, like, in that moment, luckily I had a friend there who was like, don't talk to him. Like, it was stranger danger.
Your instincts did not kick in at all? You were just like, sure, I like cars.
Yes. It was a total just, like, want some candy?
I like puppies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happened to me, and I'll never forget that looking back on that situation.
I think my parents did a good job of saying, like, if someone tries to get you to go with them, do not go with – and if or that's what my mom said too. Unless I tell you that I'm sending someone to, like, pick you up after school or that, like, you're supposed to go with them to karate or whatever, they're lying to you.
Yeah.
An adult is lying to you. If they told you that your mom sent them, do not listen to them and run away.
Don't go.
It never happened, but that is, I think, a good, like, that's a good thing to impart on your kids, because that's a great way to, like, steal a kid and be like, oh, hey, your mom
sent
me
to come get
you. And I
don't feel like he was trying to, like, abduct me in that moment, because he would have to take me out of the library.
He
wanted my presence.
He probably just near, a little bit.
He wanted to smell my hair or something like that, something really disturbing. Oh, this is, like, family related. You know how, like, scams are getting really, like, popular with, like, especially, like, our parents are getting older. They're so susceptible to things. And I just watched that movie Thelma about, like, an old grandma who gets scammed. She gets a call from what sounds like her grandson who's like, grandma, I've just been, like, in a and, like, covering his ear, you know, pinching his nose, like, I think I broke my nose, I was just in a car accident, I don't have the money, I need $1,000, please can you just wire it, send it to this call that they're gonna call you right now, the insurance company. And it's important to have, like, a
family password,
non-written down password, a question that you can ask your family, and you know that's the one thing that you ask, and you everyone knows the answer.
Yes. What lies in the secrets of the bush beyond the shadow?
Do you wait?
Just like a family question that's like a mystery.
Or it should be a question. It's a question like about your family that only you guys would know. What was the name of this, like, pet? But get even more weirdly specific about it, and we have it. My family, we all kind of agreed on one. And
you did it?
Yeah, I had that conversation with them.
What is it?
But have you had that conversation?
No,
with your
family? It as a task list to, like, talk to my parents and be like,
do it over the holidays.
Don't give your information. Like, I have that Economist article about the woman who put $50,000 in a duffel bag and without telling her husband and drove to a parking lot and handed it to a guy.
Yeah.
Like, she was the Economist writer for whatever the magazine was, and she got duped, and within like 3 hours withdrew money, didn't tell her husband. They pressured her on the phone. Like, I don't know, that I want to tell my parents, like, don't. I think my parents know to not give their money to any random stranger, but everybody should talk to their parents. That's a good thing to do this holiday season. Tell your parents that they don't owe money to anybody, and if they do, they don't call you up and demand it on the first phone call. That's definitely a scam. If you owe money to somebody, they'll send a note, they'll send a lawyer, they'll write to you, and then you follow up. But don't ever give money over the phone.
Oh, whew.
What?
Now I'm a little relieved, because I felt like I was falling victim to a scam, or, like, lately my bank has just been calling me to, like, I don't know, they want to offer their services to help manage one of the accounts I have. But I keep getting calls from them, and I'm like, why is this bank calling me? I don't know. I feel like it's just weird for, like, a bank to call you. Like, you want to verify it, that it is really them.
It's better to hang up and
call them
back.
Finally, I was, like, brushing my teeth, and I answer, and I go, hello? And it's like, what's up, man? This is, like, Oscar, or I'm at Chase or whatever. And I'm like, this sounds great, man, but how do I know this is not a scam? And he was like laughing with me. And I go, can you guys send me just an email saying that this is you? Because like, I just can't. I need to verify that it was you. He was like, yeah, oh, man, I totally understand. I'll send you an email. And he was like chuckling, acting like totally normal.
Did he send you an email from at Chase.com?
I just checked. I actually checked.
Did he ask you for like personal information?
No, he didn't. He didn't. He was just like, we just want to offer our services to you, blah, 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 blah. It seemed very, but I still was like, then he goes, you can pull up the app right now and like, there'll be like a notification. I was like, oh, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
Like, well, I didn't even say that out loud. I was like, okay, I want an email.
One time I called someone, it was so recently, I think I was trying to like return a pair of shoes or something. Or no, I was trying to dispute a claim on my credit card because someone like charged twice for something on my credit card that I bought online. And she was like, okay, I'm going to send you a code to your phone. You just need to read me the code. And the code comes and it says, do not share this with anyone under any circumstance. And she was like, yes, don't share it with anyone else, but you can share it with me. I'm the bank. I'm sending it to you. We're like, this is the process. And I was like, I'll call you back.
You need to figure out that process better if, yeah.
It was, I called the bank. So like I typed in the number and I was like, this is the number. I'm calling the bank. It's not like they called me. But I still got spooked and I hung up and I just did it online. I just did the dispute online instead of calling.
Yeah.
It's the scams are getting too lit.
Like I can't even like trust that like the call that I'm making to somebody is actually getting through to that person.
Yeah, it's very
bizarre.
You got to go back to cash, man.
Truly.
You saw Bitcoin at $100,000?
Yes. I haven't even checked my crypto stuff because I got a new phone and I need to like do
the day I graduated college, me and Jared.
What is Dogecoin at right now?
I don't know. I don't have any. Fuck Dogecoin. The day I graduated college, me and Jared, we talked about.
Did you sell all your Bitcoin?
No, but we were. I mean, this is 2011.
Oh.
We talked about if we should each spend $500 to buy a Bitcoin. One Bitcoin for $500. And right. Now it's worth $100,000.
Oh, yeah. When I was doing competitive speech, informative speech, that category, people had speeches all about Bitcoin, all in 2010, 2012.
We didn't do it. We were like, $500 for a Bitcoin for one?
Yeah.
Fuck out of here.
I know.
We were like 21. That's so much money. I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
But I feel like it would have gotten.
But I think it would have gotten to a point where it would have been so high, been like, cash out.
Right. Yeah. When it goes from 500 to 10,000, you're like, okay, 10,000, I'm out.
Because when it went really up that one time in, this was like 2016, and then it hit a low, and it was a low for, I swear, 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
And then that was like such a dead area. And I remember when it got back to a point, I'm like, give me my money back because I don't want to deal with this again.
And there was a big thing where like Mt. Gox, everyone had, it was like a Coinbase type of thing, and it all just disappeared. But it's just these fucking nerds, man. You invested a lot into the Talktua coin, right?
Is there a Talktua coin?
The Hawktua coin, yeah.
Oh, wait. Ben Kahn was talking about this on that?
Well, she apparently like scammed her whole audience, but.
Is this true?
Yeah, I think so. I saw it on the internet, so I don't know. But let's see. Hawktua coin. Yep, 90% dump. Yeah. It's basically what happens is you get all your audience to buy into a coin. The second it comes out, you sell it all. The price goes down. You owned it all. And so she just makes a lot of money.
That's what basically happened with the Litecoin. I had really good strides with Litecoin and then.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. What? She really speed ran her fame from nobody to crypto scam. I'm impressed.
That is wild.
Yeah. Don't invest in influencer fucking coins, guys.
Don't
do it. What are you looking forward to the most this holiday season?
I'm looking forward to the engagement party of my brother and his lovely fiance, Olivia. It will be really, really nice.
The engagement party?
Yeah, it'll be really nice because it's like a.
Where's her family from?
She's from Houston.
Oh, so both Texas.
Yeah, and we get to do some karaoke after as well, which will be really fun.
At the house? At your parents'
house? No, where my parents live, we live really close to like a Korean shopping center.
Oh,
and
sick.
They have like a private room karaoke type of situation. So we got the big room. We're going to be jamming out doing that, all of that. And I'm so excited that Texas is going to be playing the championship tomorrow. But I bet when the time this episode comes out, we'll know if they won the SEC championship.
Also, a very heartfelt, deep thank you to Matt's dad, Jim, for sending me a really nice holiday gift for my new apartment.
Oh, yes. Tell them what they sent you.
Tell them what they want, yeah, folks. Matt was asking me for my address after I moved. And I thought you were going to buy me something. And I was like, sick. I'm going to get like a piece of furniture or like a piece of art. But then nothing ever came from Matt, which is fine. But I was like, I wonder what Matt ever wanted my address for. Because it was like a month later. And I got a piece of mail from Texas, and it said Jim King on it. That's Matt's dad. And he wrote me a really nice, like, two-page note, and it was all these rare vintage out of print Bruce Springsteen vinyl records, like from Japan. It was like Japanese imports.
Yeah, I didn't even know he owned one of those.
It's pretty, like, those Bruce Springsteen things used to get, I have a few of them from my mom. I sent him a video of the ones that I have from my mom, where, like, people would sneak record Bruce Springsteen concerts in the 70s and 80s and then press them onto vinyl and then trade them at, like, meetups all over the country.
Oh, whoa.
And it was like bootlegs, so very illegal and, like, not whatever, but now they're collectibles, and it was just so sick to get, like, a nice gift from. And then last year he got me the Bruce Springsteen VHS tape and cassette tapes. Thank you, Jim. Always really,
really
appreciate
thoughtful.
your friendship. It's
yeah,
it's quite nice to be.
Have you
of.
Wait, you haven't played them yet though, right?
No, well, the day before I went to go see Back to the Future the musical on Broadway, which was amazing. And after I exited the Pantages Theater, right across the street was an Amoeba Records. And I was like, I've actually never been to this Amoeba Records, which is insane.
Yeah.
So I was like, it's whatever. Tuesday afternoon, I'm just going to go check it out. I went in there, ended up buying like five or six different vinyls, all from the used section for like $5 to $10 a piece. I just got a steal. And the next day, after I came back, after I had this whole new set of vinyl, then your dad sent me his. So I'm still going through what I purchased, and then I'm going to go see the Springsteen stuff. But it was, it's really nice to get a gift.
How was the musical
like
for Back to the Future?
So I saw it in London after Will and Arden's wedding. I bought a ticket for myself to go see it in London. I think the London one was a little bit better.
I always think like a musical that's like stationed like in like the West End or Broadway is going to be better than like a touring show.
But the touring show is the Broadway one.
Correct, but I sometimes think like, yes, it is the Broadway version, but
no, but
think...
isn't it the Broadway people?
No.
Oh, they have a different cast.
A touring cast is different than the Broadway cast. What do you think, though? The people on Broadway are still there.
No, I don't think the show is happening in Broadway right
now. Oh, yes, but I think they usually switch it up for like a touring cast. Maybe some people who were part of the Broadway cast, but like, you know, Book of Mormon is still on Broadway, but then the Book of Mormon tour is around.
But if I mean, my memory is obviously not the best, but I do feel like even like the plot and the lines and the scenes were different. Like there was different songs, different scenes.
Oh.
The order of things were a little bit different.
Maybe it's a little bit more abridged.
I don't know. It was kind of like a different version. A lot of it was the same, but I feel like there was different songs. The layout was a little bit different. And also, I was seeing it the second time.
Were
so
you by
I,
yourself?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I was just I got a ticket for like $50.
Yeah.
The day before, just a little to the right, 20 rows back. It was fine.
Did they have a real DeLorean on stage?
Yes.
It was real.
Sick. Oh, they have like two or three of them.
Whoa.
It is very cool to see. I think it's because I saw it in London that I was a little desensitized. But what they do is it's like they put like a screen in front and then they project onto the screen and the DeLorean is on like a track. So it would like turn on the stage on its own. But the scene is turning also. So it almost looks like you're watching a 3D movie.
Oh, sick.
It was very fucking cool. And then at the very end, I don't know how they did it in the London show. Way cooler. The very end, the fucking DeLorean. I don't know how they did it in London. It lifted up off the ground and went over the audience, did a 360, and went back into the back of the stage.
Whoa.
And disappeared. And I was,
it disappeared.
I was like underneath it, and I couldn't see. There was like nothing. It wasn't coming off the stage. It must have been like an invisible crane from above. But it was like, oh my. It went off the stage, over the crowd, turned around and disappeared. And I was like, bravo.
Wow.
And then in the LA one, it didn't leave the stage. It was just like on the stage. And I was like, that's the only reason I bought the ticket, because I wanted to see that again. But it was fine.
Yeah.
All loved it. There's a...
Are the songs good?
Kind of. I think you would like them. They're very just like...
Well, it's like, we gotta go back, back, back
yeah.
to the
future. I actually like the songs more than the Book of Mormon
songs.
Did
they do like Johnny Be Good?
Oh,
like,
yeah. Oh, and the... They didn't do Enter Sandman, which is interesting. Because that's a big song in the movie. But they did Earth Angel... They did Back in Time, The Power of Love by Huey Lewis. And I was looking at the cast and...
Actually, isn't Doc the guy from... Hercules?
I have no idea.
I can go the distance, I will find
On Broadway?
I feel like I saw him on TikTok singing it.
I have no idea. The main guy who played Marty was also the understudy the time that I saw it.
Ooh.
I thought he did amazing.
Usually understudies are even better
sometimes.
That's
what I was like, this kid's
fucking...
They're
the ones who are like ready for it. They're hungry for it. They've been waiting for this moment, and then they'll end up killing it.
That's what I... And I saw the picture of the main Marty McFly, and he kind of looks like a little bit of like a... Almost like an Abercrombie and Fitch model.
Yeah, like just too handsome.
Yes, and he looks like a Photoshop child. And I'm like, eh. But the second the understudy was amazing. I really. But then I'm just like, why are they singing? Just like, let's just do the scenes, guys.
Yeah, you just want like Back to the Future, the play.
The play, yes. I want to see these people act, and then it's like everybody's coming out, and now 18 people are on stage, and they're all having their moment, and I'm like, these are all just like fucking theater kids, like. I don't know.
Let them cook.
I get it. I know I'm being a hater. It was amazing. I would highly recommend seeing it if you do get the chance, if you like the movie. And it was the day after Thanksgiving is when I saw it. I saw the 2 p.m. show the Friday after Thanksgiving.
Oh, good.
So I was also a little concerned, like, oh, these people are going to be like hungover after their Thanksgiving, whatever. But it was a lot of kids and like their families. It was a nice like audience to see it with.
Fun.
The kids were like, oh my God.
Do you think they'll do Back to the Future 2, the musical?
Definitely not.
No.
No way.
I just would like to see some hoverboards on stage.
That would be sick, but I don't think
they would never do like a sequel musical movie adaptation and stuff.
But I would love to see if there's ever like a drama that you want to go see. I want to go see two actors like Daniel Day-Lewis doing something on stage.
Yeah, I want to go see Clybourne Park. It's a
who's in that?
What do you mean?
I'm saying like.
Like it's a play, so
but
it depends on what actors
like Hollywood
do it.
Actors. There was a play that I think Philip Seymour Hoffman, before he passed, and I think John C. Reilly, they did a play, a drama, that was the two of them on stage, and every night they would switch which character they played.
Is this also the one that like Steve Martin and Robin Williams did?
You might be thinking of
Waiting for Godot.
No, that's a different thing.
Oh, okay.
Waiting for Godot, I think, is like one of those classic, like everyone has their interpretation of it. But this was, I want to see like a drama where someone's just like,
yeah,
like a serious
story.
You
feel like you shouldn't be watching it. Or like, you're just like, oh my gosh, I'm watching these people go at it.
I want to see that because I've only seen musicals and like,
yeah,
it's all campy and whatever. But
yeah, no, I'm down.
Have you seen something like that?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
A real play?
Yeah, I've seen, oh my gosh, what's the one that you love to quote? Always Be Closing.
Oh. Oh my God.
Glenn Gary Ross. I've seen that.
David Mamet, did he write that?
Yeah, David Mamet wrote it. And then Clybourne Park, though, I think is one of my favorite plays I've ever seen. Also, The Pillow Man by Martin McDonagh.
You've seen that?
Yes. Dude, unbelievable. I feel like I've seen it twice.
Read it. And I was like, this is one of the best things I've ever read in my life.
Next time that happens, I'll totally take you.
Do they do performances of it still? I thought it was like a one-time thing.
I mean, there was a time when the script was very popular, but occasionally like a really great theater around will put on a play like that. It's usually really popular around October because it's like a spooky kind of play.
I can't believe that.
Yeah, Katurian.
I don't remember much of it, but they do it in London, the West End Theater. Damn.
It's happening right now?
Hold on. Let's see. Come on. The play. The website. It's not mobile friendly. I'll look it up later. But, yeah, I love Martin McDonagh. His movies are... Although, did you like Seven Psychopaths?
You know what? I've never seen it.
That's the only one of his I didn't like.
I love Three Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri.
Unbelievable.
Have you seen The Cripple of Inishman?
The Banshees of Inisherin, you mean?
No, but he also wrote The Cripple of Inishman, which is a Martin McDonagh one. My brother was in that play.
Oh, it's a play. No,
it's a play.
No, I haven't seen it. Is it worth trying to find a stage reading of The Pillow Man?
No, no.
I think it's live.
Because it's set in this really weird, like, totalitarian, near future kind of thing. Like the setting of it is like, I mean, it's scary. It's dark. I don't even think they could ever make it a movie almost.
I need to see it. God.
Oh my gosh. Well, looks like we're almost running out of time. Where did the time go? Guys, thank you so much for tuning into this episode of Hoot and a Half. I hope that you guys have a fantastic holidays. And be good to yourself. Be kind to yourself. Write down all the goals and dreams that you want to achieve in the new year. Mike, thank you so much for chatting with me. And then we'll have another episode coming out with a really great guest. I want to say who it is.
We don't know yet.
We don't know yet.
We'll confirm that soon. But yeah, we'll bring a guest back.
All right. Thank you guys so much. And please leave a like, a comment, a review. We love it. Much love.
Bye.